that we stay in the market. I hope everybody can hear me. I'll just repeat, but I hope I can be heard okay. If I can't, I'm sure there is somebody on the call that will text me. But it has been an unbelievable year. It continues to be an amazing year, and so grateful for what the Lord has done. We have had some amazing guidance this year through channeled, I guess, for lack of better, through me, and I've been grateful for that. We've had some great stocks on the pick list for all of you just starting this year. Nothing to worry about. You will reap a lot of encouragement by listening to the program and listening to so many people that have been in. You're not going to hear a lot of people that have been in 15 years. You're going to hear a lot of people who have been in 2 or 3 years saying how amazingly well they're doing. Here's the problem with this year, and one of the things that is a concern. There's a lot of people that is new to this. You know, you may be new, maybe 6 months ago, maybe this year, you were new to all of this. Maybe you're still new and you don't know a whole lot about how the process works and so on. If that is you, you're feeling really good right now. And I always get nervous when everybody starts feeling really good, because if you're one of those people that is feeling this, you know, excitement, for lack of better, then I'm afraid you're going to think this is the way it's always going to be. It isn't. It's not always going to be like this. It is. We're going to have rough years. We're going to have good years. But this is one of the good ones. This is one of the years that makes maybe your entire portfolio over the next 10 years that really builds a solid foundation in your investment. And I'm really excited about that. I'm even more excited about next year, because I think the beginning of the year is going to be somewhat of a continuation. We're going to go strong, I think, or continue to plug along right up to the middle of January. Then earnings seasons are going to start. I believe that everybody, once again, that made predictions last month about earnings for the end of the year are all going to be found wrong. Once again, they've been wrong for a very, very long time, and they're going to continue to be wrong. They are using their hopes and their wishes for poor earnings, and they're projecting that out in their prediction. And that's a shame, but that's just where we've gotten to in our ideology, and that's a problem. So I think we are going to have very good earnings. I would not be surprised to see record earnings once again. Not once again, as if that happened last time. It didn't. But I think we have a great possibility for that to happen. We look at retail sales numbers that came out Friday. Was amazing. Consumer sentiment and consumer spending number, consumer sentiment and income and spending is coming out on Friday. I suspect that's going to be a very good number, because it's a November number. And we already know what some of the retail sales numbers are spending has been. So look, there's a lot of confidence right now. Wages are at a 20-year high. We continue to see growth in the labor market. We still have $7 million jobs available out there right now, which is absolutely amazing. And that continues to be the case. So all in all, this is you know, this is an amazing year, and I think it is going to finish strong, and it's going to continue to be a strong year next year. I do think we do have a possibility of seeing some geopolitical events entering into it. Of course, next year is an election year. There is going to be an all-out attack on President Trump, which almost sounds comical, because what has the last year been? If we're going to have something worse, I think it's going to be worse. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think they're going to resort to I think you will see the DNC paying people like they did with Kavanaugh. I think they're going to be paying people to come out. I think it's going to be extremely ugly. There's not going to be time to do the vetting and the process. like we've now had with Kavanaugh to find out that they were all lies. I don't think it's going to be that kind of situation. It's going to be a very difficult year. If there is even a hint next year that President Trump is not going to win the election, even a hint that he is not going to win the election, hold on to your portfolios because things are going to drop significantly. And I'll probably say the same thing, not to be too awfully concerned, but if I start to believe that President Trump is not going to win, then we're going to be in for a selling spree next year. Somebody called in today and asked if they should wait. You know, there's no sense of waiting. If you're ready to get in, get in. If the market is good next year, you want to miss another year. You've already missed 1 year waiting. Maybe you've missed 2 years. I know people that have been out since the last presidential election. They've lost literally tens of thousands of dollars that they would have made in their portfolio. Don't try to time this market. Stop reading all the blogs and listening to all the conspiracy theory people. If we could all stop doing that, we'd be far better off. And let me just say one word about that, and then I'm going to move on. They've all been wrong for the last 12 years. And by the grace of God, I've been right for the last 12 years. I've done that without selling books, without selling recipes and theories for how we can fix all this, without selling newsletters for thousands of dollars, without selling the next great fix of your portfolio, without selling gold or silver, without any of that. And I believe as we continue to honor God, we're going to continue to be as right as we can be, as long as I can keep my flesh and, yes, even my ideology to a certain extent out from swaying what is right and wrong and what we see. So it is an interesting time. Don't forget, we have our 10 for 20 coming out. That'll be out January 2nd. Last year it was out the 4th. We were late. Could be late again this year, but I don't think so. We've got oil prices are rallying a little bit on the trade deal with China. As I said this morning, I'm not real excited about it because I don't think that it's all that real. So I'm not getting all worked up about the trade deal until it's signed, sealed, and delivered. And we know it's a done deal and we're moving on to phase two. So I think there's still a lot of wiggle room that nobody wants to talk about. And I think it's wrong to just believe it's a done deal. So we'll see, but I hope it is. If it is, it's going to be good for oil, but only for a temporary point of view. We still have world growth that has to happen. I don't know if any of you saw an article or heard about some talk coming out of the Wall Street Journal this morning talking about fracking and oil production. So fracking basically has made U.S. oil producers the largest oil producing nation in the world. And it is now beginning to get too expensive for fracking to pay off at these low prices. And we are seeing a rapid decline in shale companies and what they're able to do. Now, the only thing that's going to change that is a rapid increase in oil. Don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. So many of these companies are going to continue to struggle and are going to struggle a great deal. Most of them are small companies. A lot of them are not publicly traded companies. So I suspect you don't own any, but some of the micro cap oil companies that you own that are involved in fracking are going to be in for some trouble, particularly since the debt, they have a lot of debt. So just be aware of that. I want to give you a heads up of that. The boom time is pretty much done at this point unless oil prices go up significantly. And that is what a senior economist at the Federal Reserve Bank in Dallas has said. And I don't often agree with him or anybody else at the Federal Reserve on too many things, but I agree with him on this. I believe that the boom point is pretty much over. And we are going to be highly dependent upon oil companies. I talked about this in my last conference call, and I have seen numerous reports since then, confirming everything I said about oil in the last conference call. So we need to be concerned, not enough to be selling out of our positions, but make sure that you are well diversified. The other thing that I want to talk about as we head into 2020 is copper. Copper has been on a tear. You've heard me say over and over again, copper probably being one of the best gauges of our economy and where our economy is going than there could be. I mean, copper is an amazing indicator of where we are. And copper right now is doing very, very well. This metal is closely tied to China's economy. It always has been and it always will be. Why? Because China consumes more than 50% of copper. Copper is extremely important in industrial manufacturing, construction industry, and chip and technology sectors, all extremely important. And right now, when we look at copper numbers, there are a lot of people that say the international and the global markets are going to do very well in 2020. And they are basing their predictions and getting into international and global funds based on copper. I can't say as I blame them. I did that for a long time. I still do that to a certain extent. But we need to first see pent-up demand that has been around right now for copper. We need to see what happens after that pent-up demand is satisfied. And that's what I think we're going through right now in copper. We've got a lot of optimism around global trade and global economies and China getting back on track. And China has had a lot of, and other nations, a lot of pent-up demand. They are starting to exercise their purchasing in copper. And I think it's painting a better picture than it actually is for the long term. So we need to watch that very closely and see what happens with that pent-up demand. After the pent-up demand seems to be getting somewhat satisfied, then we can take a look at copper, see what copper is doing, and use that once again as a barometer as to what might be coming in the international market. In my opinion, I think there's going to be a lot of people pulling back on their investment strategies that went with strategies based on copper alone. So I don't want to be one of them. I'm not that excited about it. It is encouraging. It is somewhat optimistic, but we need to be concerned. Whenever you have a situation like this that's coming off a very long dry spell, there's always a lot of demand that is going to happen out of necessity, not need for growth, but just out of necessity to get things back on track. So we're going to wait. We're going to sit back and wait to see what that does next. Now, one of the things that I mentioned that I'm very scared when we come off a year like this, because everybody starts to getting a false sense of optimism. And I want you to be very careful about that. I want to maintain our same cash position. I want us to make sure that we're well balanced and diversified, that our asset allocation model is aligned. I'll be changing some of the asset allocation models primarily to figure in and take into consideration the new ETFs coming out of Timothy. So I'm going to take time to do that. I am somewhat concerned about people being overly optimistic. We still need to get in. You got to get into the market. But I'm going to say what I've been saying for a very long time. If you are a long-term investor, and if 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you became a long-term investor and have been following our model, you love life right now. You feel great about your money. You have a great piece. And that's good. A lot of you aren't there yet. So let's continue to move forward with prudence and wisdom and caution. We can't be, well, I've been out of the market three years. I'm going to jump in lock, stock, and barrel. Be very, very careful about that attitude. You need to start getting in, though, absolutely. If you're a long-term investor, if you're not a long-term investor, you don't need to be on this call, and you shouldn't even be partnering with the ministry. I'm just being honest with you. We need your partnership, but we don't want you to partner with the ministry if you're not a long-term investor. The other thing I want to remind you, I know there's financial advisors on this call. There always are. That's great because I love having them as partners. And I just want to say there are some very, very good financial advisors out there, and there are some bad ones, just like everything else in the world. But one of the things that all of you, if all of you could be in a room that have been a partner with the ministry for more than 4 years, the testimonies that would come out of that to encourage people to say, you can do this on your own, it's outlined for you, would be an incredible encouragement to you. Since we can't do that, I'm going to say to you, it is incredibly encouraging. I can tell you that the one financial advisor that you can trust beyond a shadow of a doubt is yourself. And you need to think about that. The other thing I want to tell you, if you don't care about being biblically responsible, please don't partner with our ministry. It's a waste of your money, just as much as it's a waste of your money to be a short-term investor and partner with the ministry. So don't do those things. You know, I have people that anytime I get a situation where people are dissatisfied, 95% of the time, and it's not very many people, I got to tell you, we're talking about 10 out of 10,000. I mean, it's not a lot of people. But the ones that are don't have a heart to be biblically responsible. As a matter of fact, they would openly admit that they're not a Christian. And they don't really care about it. You're always going to be unhappy because you're going to be watching the news, the financial news, and listening to your friends and hearing all the stocks that they're in and realizing that you can't be in those. You need to just go and do that and be in those, if that's what you want to do. But you're not helping yourself necessarily by helping by working with financial issues. You need to have a conviction in your heart. Being biblically responsible is not just a strategy. It's a conviction that you want to honor God first and foremost. I want to just talk about this year a little bit. S&P is up about 28 points, give or take, 26 to 28 points. All the indices up dramatically. It has been a great year. My institutional accounts are up over 30%. So some of our stocks have done very, very well. I'm very excited about that. And, you know, it has been a great year. This has not been a great year for our ministry, although it's been okay. We've managed to we will manage again to continue to get by. But everybody is emailing me. I had so many today again about stations that we are going to pull off of. Folks, I don't want to pull off any station. I don't want to do that. But you know, I am not going to borrow money. We're not going to get in debt. And we can only do what God raises up for us to do, and we can't do any more. So if I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is nudging all the people that need to be nudged that can keep us strong and moving forward. I know God's doing his part, but we all have free will, and, you know, we may not hear that nudge or feel that or follow through with it. And it's been probably, I don't know, I'm going to say 5, 6 years, maybe a little longer, but I don't think so. Since we've had a year this rough, this has been a very difficult year for us. We've been growing and expanding, as God would raise up so many different opportunities. But unfortunately, we have to put a halt on things. We have to stop something. We have to give up some momentum. And, it's frustrating and it certainly is discouraging. To be honest with you, I can't say it is, and it's discouraging. It shouldn't be, but it is. So we're going to have a year in the black again. We have never not been in the black. We've never been in the red, and we've never been behind. But at the same time, we've got to be prudent, and we might have to pull in the reins a little bit in some areas. The other thing I want to mention as we go into next year, and I probably shouldn't mention it because I mention it all the time, and I should just let it go. But you got to open your emails. You got to open your alert. I am astonished. The last alert I sent was a sell. I was astonished to see how many people didn't open their email. And I promise you, there'll be the very same people that call in and say, "Whatever happened to this stock? I mean, it went down, and I don't, I, you know, did it's not hasn't been on your list, and did you sell it? And I lost all this money." They're the ones that are going to call. And I can't make you open your alert. That's up to you. I just don't understand why you would pay to get a little help with your finances and then not take advantage of some of the help that comes along. Something as simple as clicking on an email to open it. I'm not saying a few, I'm talking about thousands and thousands of people that don't open the alert. Not just a few. And maybe you don't need to. Maybe you feel like you've got it covered. Maybe you feel like you're staying with it. You're smart enough to do all, and maybe you're doing all the analytics on your own and you're trusting that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. You may do far better than me. But if you're not doing all that, you need to open your alert. And I'm going to try to make it a point not to say it anymore, because I say it all the time, and it doesn't really much matter. One of the things that we've learned this year is the resiliency of the market. This market is more resilient than anybody than I have ever imagined. It is amazing. All of the political events, all the witch hunts, all the things that have been going on, all of the dysfunction, and I mean dysfunction, in Washington, all of that dysfunction hasn't meant a thing to the market. They've totally ignored it. They're not paying any attention to it. I am hoping that USMCA gets signed and sealed and delivered. That is going to be very good for the markets. There is talk that President Trump believes that USMCA is kind of a template that we can use in other countries. I hope that is true. If we need a template and we have one, I hope we'll use it, and I hope it will expedite other trading deals. I have a fear that the Department of Commerce and Lighthizer is going to sit back and rest on this. I don't expect to get other trade deals done. The reason why we've only had one trade deal done, if it is in fact done, not counting USMCA, it's because they've worked hard on it. But unfortunately, I don't think anything's changed by the Commerce Department. They can only do one thing at a time. And we desperately need other trade deals if we want to keep the momentum moving forward in the economy. And that is going to be one of those things that is going to continue to hurt the economy and hurt our portfolios in the future. we have two things to worry about, that and the election. I can tell you with a great deal of certainty that it's never been more important for us to come out and vote. Never. And if you know somebody that's sitting home, make sure you let them know, don't dare whine about anything that happened if President Trump doesn't win this election. I'm not saying it because of the man. I'm saying it because of the economy. I'm not saying it because of my like for the man or dislike for the man. I'm saying it because I love America. I'm saying it because I want everybody to continue to live in the land of prosperity and the land of opportunity. And November is critically important. So we need to do all that we can to make sure that happens. We need to work hard in all that we do to make sure that happens. So 10 for 20, let's keep watching oil, see what happens there. If you got to make some changes, if you're over allocated in energy, cut back on some of those oil companies. Don't get sucked into the copper perspective and the view that everybody is going to look at with 2020, that the global economy is out from its almost demise and it's going to do nothing but run up. Don't get sucked into analysts saying that internationally is the place to be for the next big run-up. I'm not saying that they're wrong about that. I'm saying we've got to maintain our diversification and be very careful about that. Because if we haven't learned anything, they are very close to falling off the cliff. They still have negative interest rates and they still have weak currency. We can thank the Federal Reserve for the last 2 months of this year. It's the Federal Reserve's quantitative QE4 that they say is not QE, that has done a dramatic work for liquidity and for the country. That is in all likelihood going to continue next year. And that's going to help us. So we've got a lot of things going for us in 2020, but we are still going to have another year filled with a lot of uncertainty. And that needs to be our biggest concern. Most importantly, it's Christmas. We need to thank and praise God for the money that He's given us to be good stewards of. Thank Him for opportunities to be a good steward, to be biblically responsible. And make sure that we thank Him for sending His Son to die so that we might have our eternal life and the peace that we love and enjoy and share so much. We at Financial Issues, and I'm counting all of you on this call and all of you that listen to this call, we at Financial Issues have an amazing church family. We have a church family that is beyond description. I can feel the love and the encouragement whenever I need it on a regular basis. And I'm so grateful for it. But we are a family of Christ. We are a church, and I believe that. And it is such a blessing to be a part of this church. And I ask you as the body of Financial Issues and of this ministry that you would continue to pray into 2020, that you would pray for this ministry, that you'd pray for my strength, my health, my wisdom, my discernment, and my understanding of the times that only can come from God. And I feel horrible asking you to pray for me. It's not something I'm comfortable with, but I am smart enough to know how desperately I need it. So I would pray for that. Pray for each other. Pray for all of us in this family of Financial Issues. Next year is going to be another year of saving babies, saving children, educating the poorest of the poor, the people with disabilities that I talked about with India Partners. Such great ministries. Pray that more ministries like that come alongside us. More corporate sponsors might come alongside us to help us as we try to expose Jesus in everything that we do, as we try to expose Jesus for who he is, what he means, and what he can do. I hope you have a wonderful, merry and blessed Christmas, and that you know all of God's blessings, all of his peace, all of his joy this time of year. For some of you, this is going to be a difficult year this Christmas. But lean upon Jesus. I speak as someone that desperately does that and clings to Jesus this time of year. This is a very difficult time of year for me, for a number of fronts. Yvonne and I were talking yesterday, and I said, it's amazing at my age, still. So I sympathize with all of you that struggle. But boy, I take all my joy and all my peace in the grace of Christ, and I hope you will too. Thank you for being with us. I hope you have a blessed Christmas and a wonderful new year. It's going to be a good year next year. We'll have our conference call about 2 weeks in, probably the second week of January, where I can talk a little bit about what I expect in a greater detail for 2020. Thank you for being with us. I sure appreciate all of you. You are such a blessing, such a powerful part of this ministry, and I sure do appreciate it. God bless. Have a great day, great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.